Thank you for listening to this program, Health and Happiness of KGVM 95.9 FM Bozeman and KGVM.org. I am Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist and co-host with Dr. Suzanne Wood, speech-language pathologist. We are supported by the Montana Psychological Association Public Education Committee and focus on mental health for the most part, but health and happiness in general. Today, we have an exciting presentation. Dr. Suzanne now introduces the program.
What if you went to the doctor and he told you he had a pill that was research-based and that would control weight, give you immunity to many bad diseases, boost your energy, promote better sleep, enhance your sex life, increase your socialization, and promote mental acuity and mental health? Wouldn't we all gladly ask for that pill? Well, today I'm sitting with a group of folks who have that pill. We are in the splendid new wellness center at Montana State University, and they have worked hard to bring all of those benefits to the campus and for our community. The pill they provide is pure health benefits via exercise and support for mental health and medical care. Welcome. And we'd ask if you'd please introduce yourselves and your programs.
Thank you, Suzanne. My name is Whitney Milhone. I'm the Director of Student Health Services here in the Student Wellness Center at MSU.
Thanks for inviting me to be here. My name is Betsy Asserson. I'm a psychologist as well, so happy to be with both of you. And I'm the Director of Counseling and Psychological Services here within the Student Wellness Center at MSU.
I'm Spencer Sorensen, the Director of Campus Recreation here at MSU.
My name is Amber Long. I'm the Associate Vice President for Student Wellness here at MSU, and I oversee all the folks here and their awesome programs that are supporting student well-being at Montana State.
Bravo, guys. Bravo. And for those of you listening who haven't been here, it is absolutely a tremendous facility. I don't know of another one to equal it most places. So to begin with that, we were wondering, Amber, how did this marvelous project get started? Whose dream was this?
Oh, wow. Well, it's a bit of a story, I guess. In 2019, there was a big snowfall here in Bozeman, and there was a roof failure of the Margo Hazeas Fitness Center. That was the campus recreation center at the time. At the same time, the Swingle Student Health Center, where counseling and psychological services and student health services have been for a number of years, was starting to show some age. So university officials and leaders were looking for a new opportunity to try to update that facility. So as luck would have it, with those lemons, the university was able to make some lemonade and promoted to students to start a student fee that would pay for a new student wellness center, a renovation of the old Margo Hazeas Fitness Center, and then the addition of the west side of the facility, which is a clinical tower. So those two things came together in about 2020, and then we know what happened in 2020. Many people went home, and design on this building continued virtually. And then the number of years after that, project consumed with construction happened, and we opened here in August of 2024. So our new building is available.
Now, I just have one little question.
Yeah.
You didn't accidentally engineer that snowfall.
I don't think so.
I know. That is such a great history of how we came about this. And, of course, the need was always there, I'm sure. Well, perhaps we could start with counseling aspects for mental health and what all services you provide for the students and I guess for the staff as well, you could kind of give us an overview of the counseling.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I have been here at MSU since 2001. So I've seen quite the change in both the need for mental health services as well as the delivery of services. And so as Amber was speaking about how we came to be in this new facility, I would say there's been an evolution of the ways in which our programs really have adapted to meeting the student needs. And one of the great things I can say about what I've seen in my time is that students have really grown to be much more open about talking about their mental health and seeking services and a broadening of what that means to them in some ways. So our department, Counseling and Psychological Services, provides individual, group, and couples counseling to students here on campus. That's what most people think of when they think of our department, and that's obviously our bread and butter, is providing that direct clinical care to students in those different modalities. But we also provide a lot of outreach services to the campus. So we lead our campus suicide prevention efforts. We also do trainings to different student groups and faculty and staff, different prevention efforts. So really looking at that importance of prevention and how critical that is when we think about mental health. We also have a training program. And so we have an APA accredited doctoral internship program in psychology since I think it was since around 1980. So we are also really committed to training future mental health professionals, which fits really well with, I think, our mission as a university too, in terms of education and the importance of that. So we invest a lot in the training aspect as well.
You also have a research component with several of your members there, I understand.
So for us, research is more the ways in which we collect data and contribute to some larger national research projects through the Center for Collegiate Mental Health, and involved in that way. We certainly are in contact and work closely with the Center for Mental Health Research and Recovery, but their research and the faculty on campus who are doing some of that work is often not as associated with our clinic, but we certainly have conversation and come together to have those discussions and think about, like, what is some of the research going on around behavioral health and mental health and ways in which we can all benefit from that.
Does your center dovetail with any community resources like Help Center or groups like that?
Yeah, so we certainly partner with the Help Center in terms of some after-hour support for students, and many of our staff are involved in some of those community groups. I serve on the Gallatin Behavioral Health Coalition, which I think is a really important group that's looking at the continuum of mental health care in the Gallatin Valley and beyond. And so that is a really important group with partnerships throughout the community, law enforcement, CHP, Help Center, Community Health Department, all of those different groups. And then if we are partnering with private practitioners, we maintain a database here that allows us to help connect students if they're wanting more specialized care or a different type of treatment, that we can partner with community providers and help them get connected in that way through a database that we manage in-house.
That's so good to hear. And I'm especially happy to hear that you focus a lot on prevention. Just after COVID, we had Carl Rosten on, who's the statewide supervisor for suicide prevention.
Yeah.
And he was saying that since COVID, among our young people, there's four times the incidence of depression and suicidal thoughts. So it sounds like your work is cut out for you, but you're recognizing that there's a lot to be done right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, again, is one of the things we've really gotten better at, is talking about suicide and talking about mental health and really being able to identify in our setting students who might be at risk of that, but also recognizing that that is the campus community's job. And so that training piece is critical for us. So faculty and staff can identify those students and make sure they get to us to provide that level of care. And they do a great job of that. And that, I'd say, is something, too, that is also being done at the university system level, where there's a lot of work looking at this related to the whole Montana University system and really supporting that throughout the state, given some of those things that you're talking about with Carl as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just excellent. We're so fortunate to have a strong mental health support system here. That's great. And going on to our other favorite topic, exercise.
Mm-hmm.
We have Spencer with us today. Tell us a little bit about your program and what all you provide and how people can interact with that.
Sure. Our department is charged with providing recreational services and facilities for the MSU campus and community. So some of the facilities that we oversee as a department would be this gorgeous building being kind of the flagship now. And then we also help to oversee North Dome, some field spaces that are the Lambert Field Complex, and then an outdoor rec building. And then some of the programs that we oversee as a department would be intramural sports, club sports, group fitness, outdoor recreation. We run a summer youth camp. Mm-hmm. And then also soon, or coming soon, would be aquatics. And so that's been a program that hasn't been a thing for almost 6 years as we rebuilt a pool, and or at least a roof structure, a new roof structure over a pool. But we're excited to bring that program back as well.
In my understanding was that it's an Olympic length pool that will be restored shortly, we hope.
It is not, unfortunately, an Olympic length.
Okay.
And so that's one thing that's gotten out there a little bit, and let the record show that it is unfortunately not
an Olympic length. We stand corrected.
No, it's fine. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news there. It's just, it's 25 yards and it's a beautiful space. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of folks that, aquatic training is near and dear to their heart. I hope that they'll be satisfied with all that we could provide in the space that we have.
Now, we've noticed there's a real variety of things people could come here and do. From, you know, we think of exercises, maybe doing jumping jacks, but you have climbing walls, you have swimming. Kind of give us an overview of the choices people might have when they come here.
Definitely. That's a great, I actually forgot to mention our climbing wall and our climbing program. That's a huge addition for our department as well to oversee. But one of the things that's great about our building and the square footage we were able to kind of get back from the old building is being able to offer just a myriad of different activity spaces and places that people can do different activities in. So if someone wants to come in and run on a treadmill or spin on a bike, we've got tons of cardio machines, free weights, selectorized equipment, squat racks. We also have beautiful group fitness studios that have group exercise as a format that somebody wants to engage in. We've got different spaces to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. The actual courts themselves that did collapse in 2019, we rebuilt those we have three wood courts and then a small turf kind of multi-activity type of court that people can use. We also have an indoor track that was a good addition for us. That there's a big running community here in Bozeman, and it's not being used quite yet, the indoor track, because I think folks are still running outside. It's beautiful outside. But we're starting to see use pick up a little bit as we're getting some of those cooler mornings. And then the climbing wall. So we have it's roughly 8 times the amount of climbing space that we've ever had on this campus. And it's a 3-story tall top rope wall and also a bouldering wall as well. And so we've put a lot of emphasis on climbing and trying to help the climbing community here in this valley mm-hmm. stay active and be able to do that in our gym as well.
Do the athletes use your facility to have their own?
So the athletes typically have their own. Mm-hmm. They are all students as well. So if they come in and check in with their CAT card, then they're able to. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them choose to use some of the athletic facilities on their own. But those are some other aspects. Like, they're able to come in and to use it. A couple other items that are in the building that I haven't mentioned yet is that we do have a bike and ski shop that we built into here that students can come in and learn how to fix their bikes or be able to wax their skis in the winter. I'm proud that we're able to teach. We don't do it for the students, but we teach them how to do it and provide the tools that they can know how to do it. And then also our outdoor rec program as a whole, we weren't able to relocate everything into this building that we do there, but we have a bunch of outdoor rec rental gear that we're able to provide still. And that's in a building just down the hill.
Yeah. Do you have any group things like pickleball, volleyball? Somebody could come and be with a team, perhaps?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we have a couple big, what I'll call kind of group sporting formats. And so one would be intramural sports, where MSU students form teams to play other MSU students. And that could be basketball, flag football, soccer, volleyball. And then we have open rec opportunities as well, where we put on the schedule where we will set up volleyball nets and or pickleball nets, which is as hot as it gets right now. we'll set those up and have those scheduled for folks to be able to drop in and play. And we've had a volleyball net set up since we opened a couple weeks ago. And every night that I've counted, that court has been full of drop-in volleyball players right until close. And so it's been wonderful to see people taking advantage of that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much. Wow. Mm-hmm. Now we want to ask Whitney about your program. You could.
Sure, thank you. So Student Health Services here on campus offers a couple of different service areas. We have medical services, dental services, nutrition counseling with a registered dietitian, and then also a full service on-site pharmacy. So those are the different service areas within Student Health. In terms of the medical services, you can think of it as basic primary care. So most of our students establish their primary care here on campus, and then we can take care of most of their basic healthcare needs. Just really an opportunity for students to learn how to navigate their own healthcare as independent adults. So it's a great environment for that. And then we also support referrals for any specialty care that's needed kind of beyond the scope of the care that we provide in the clinic here. A full service dental clinic as well, that's actually just hopefully this week will be nearing the end of completion. So that should be accessible for students in the coming weeks.
You take like insurance and that kind of thing?
Yeah, great question. We don't bill. We're not in network to bill outside insurance. A couple of notable things. All the students along with tuition and fees pay a student health fee. Okay. And that provides access to all of these services regardless of insurance. So regardless of whether they have local insurance or Medicaid or out-of-state insurance from a family plan, they all still have access to care here. That fee covers all of their basic visits. So they can see a counselor, they can see a medical provider, they can access the pharmacy. All of that's included in the fee. And then small ancillary charges are passed through the student. So if they come in and see a medical provider, there's no additional cost. And then if they get a lab test or have to have an x-ray, that small cost will be passed along to the student.
What about inoculations?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So most of the vaccines are included, those mm-hmm. required for enrollment here. And then beyond that, we have vaccines including international health. So we take care of our students who are traveling internationally, as well as regular immunizations that students would want to have as part of their basic preventative health.
That's outstanding. And I love the way you've simplified it, that every person is qualified to go into your facilities and access is ready. That's excellent. Excellent. Now, I'm wondering, tell me a little bit about your staff at the medical.
Sure. Center. In medical services, we have about 14 providers. So those are physicians and advanced practice clinicians, so nurse practitioners and physician assistants. Mm-hmm. We have about 7 nurses and medical assistants, an administrative staff as well that does patient services. So lots of referrals, like I said, lots of supporting through students through navigating their own insurance mm-hmm. and making referrals. We have x-ray suite in-house, so we have a radiologic technologist who runs our x-ray suite here, and we also have a high complexity clinical laboratory with 2 full-time medical laboratory scientists, so most of our lab testing is done here in the clinic as well.
Sounds like a wonderful setup. Wonderful. Really like that the students don't have to worry about any aspect of it. It comes included. That's terrific, and I'm just wondering as well from each of you to jump in and talk about how the students have responded to this new center and if you're seeing them use and utilize the services. And then following that, we're going to ask you about the community and which programs might provide services for people out in the listening audience. So maybe just who would like to jump in about student involvement?
I think broadly the thing to note about the Wellness Center as a whole is that it's student funded. So really designed to be for MSU students by MSU students. It's really important that we gauge student feedback on a regular basis with our advisory groups and also just open, you know, conversations. In general, I'd say the reception of this new building is awesome. So students are using our services in droves. I think we've seen record usage in all of our areas so far. And if we had a counter of people just walking through, even just to look at the space, I think we would be in awe at how many people from the community and the university at large have just come in to see this new facility. I think that is the biggest win that this building provides for us is the visibility and the awareness to the broad range of services that we offer here, ranging from engagement and exercise to crisis service and medical care on the other end of the spectrum. And just giving that visibility to those programs that haven't had that visibility in the past will probably ensure we'll have increased usage for here on out, I think. And I hope that that really benefits a student from a whole person perspective.
Well, I can say, having walked in today, that just walking into and through the building is a spirit lifter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so lofty and mm-hmm. grand and very, yeah. Very uplifting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a waiting list yet for your counseling? I haven't worked at one for in a university for several years. They really come, says the door up, but you have a long list.
Yeah.
Are you able to see them soon?
We are, yeah. So mm-hmm. we have the goal of always seeing someone for their first intake appointment within 5 days. Yep. That's for someone who's not in crisis. And then we have crisis availability all day, every day. So anyone who's in crisis, we always see immediately. And then from there, from that intake session is where we determine kind of next steps for treatment. And so we work with the student to figure out what they want that to look like, whether that's individual counseling, group counseling, maybe they're looking for a different type of engagement and actually they don't want treatment at that point in time. And so we help connect them with whatever that might be. But yeah, students right now are getting in kind of right when they walk in the door. And in terms of feedback on the space, I'll just jump in on that too, is what we've heard in our space is, I think we did a really nice job of balancing accessibility and privacy, you know, and that was really important for us in this space where students feel like they have access to come in and they can be in this space to access all of the wellness opportunities, but also have the privacy to engage in counseling and psychotherapy with us in a way that really feels like it's honoring that confidentiality. So we're up on the third floor. And when students come in, I think the feedback I've heard is just how it feels calming and welcoming and really honors the privacy piece that was I'll just say, lacking in our previous space. And so it's just been really wonderful for them to feel that. And we have 4 group rooms. So that too is just a real expansion for us to be able to provide all the different types of groups that we want to be able to provide, including a mindfulness skills group, which we have a space dedicated to that now. So that I know our students have been really excited about that as they come in specifically to counseling and psychological services.
Don't you have like maybe 4 or 5 times more space than you had before?
Easily.
I knew how little.
Easily, I would say. Yeah, and we were in different buildings, you know, so we were in different places across campus. So to be able to bring all of our staff together too has been really important for us as a team and for students to know here's the place you go. Mm-hmm. And that's been really great.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're totally entranced with what we've seen and what we've heard. And I was just wondering if you could tell us about the component for the community and how they would interact with your departments.
I'm going to start just a little bit here with offering that we also have another department that we haven't mentioned yet called Health Advancement that focuses on kind of promotion and outreach education. So definitely I'd say sometimes community members would be engaging with that team outside of these walls, even across campus. If folks are here for events or whatnot, they might see that team out there just doing prevention education. That may be around substance use or healthy relationships and things like that. But additionally, I think broadly we'll be seeing some events happening in this building that may attract a community crowd to come in and participate in different items. Primarily, kind of our clinical aspect of service is students only. However, the other side, kind of our campus recreation and some of our educational outreach events are open to the community in some facets. So I'll let Spencer kind of speak to that.
Yeah, so outside of events, I think some of the things that we do are able to offer to the community is our outdoor rec center does community gear rentals, and that's for anyone that's in this valley. That's something that changed this summer, actually also in conjunction with the opening of this building. Another thing that we're able to do that a lot of folks don't know about is that we can offer community pool memberships to come in and use the pool only. The state of Montana has recognized that there's not many indoor pools in this state. And so they allow us to be able to sell that type of membership to somebody that's interested in just swimming. And then we're also able to offer some memberships to community members, but they have to have an affiliation to MSU in some way, shape, or form. So faculty staff member, a partner of somebody that works here, an affiliate in some way, and then also alumni memberships right now are available. And so those are some ways that our department's able to interact with some of the community that surrounds us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for health services, we, of course, are only serving directly students, enrolled students at MSU, but we really do partner closely with a lot of other community providers to make sure that we're really doing everything we can to support the whole person wellness for our students, whether that's orthopedic referrals or neurology, oncology, you know, a myriad of other health care resources in the community. We're working directly with each of those providers and other healthcare organizations in supporting the students. So that's kind of a neat community touch point for other providers in the Gallatin Valley and in the community.
Excellent. So the swim center is still being repaired. When do you have a predicted date that that might open?
That is a wonderful, wonderful question. We're hoping. We just did some of the pool training actually in the pump room and making sure that we're getting our chems right and all sorts of things in the pool. We're hoping that we try to open sometime in October.
Coming right up.
Might be wishful thinking on my part, which has happened from time to time, but we're close. The pool is filled with water now. There's some of the now there's some of the aspects that are surrounding that pool that need to be finalized before we can open.
I've read, once again, you can correct me if this is incorrect information, but I've read that swimming is one exercise that gets every muscle in the body. So we would probably encourage people to think about a membership with the swimming. And so what is the fee for that? How would, and maybe give us a sign up for people, a phone number or link where they could check into this for those out there that might like to do some swimming.
So I believe our fee, is $59 a month for a pool only membership. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that, most of our information is up to date on our website right now.
Okay.
And then to be able to sign up, currently it's only in person here at the Student Wellness Center during our normal kind of business hours.
Do you happen to be able to tell us the website so they could maybe click on that thing?
If you go to montana.edu/wellness, you'll see at the top the four departments are represented there, as well as some information about the student wellness area overall. But certainly go to the campus recreation page from there, and that'll take you right to membership and some information about that pool offering.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so while it's basically a facility for the students, I'd like to broach the topic of people out in the community and even older people that might come. For one thing, it's good to be around young people. And the other thing is that I think especially Spencer would be telling us that we might want to encourage people to keep up the exercise and wellness throughout a lifetime. And so older people should be listening carefully and making plans.
There's no one older here.
Hey, I ran my first half marathon at age 64.
Amazing.
By accident. Yeah. Trying to do a little 5K and I got in the wrong lane.
Tell your story, yeah.
Well, I have to confess, Spencer, that I didn't exercise much going to graduate school and raising the kids. So around my mid-50s, when people were complaining that things were starting to hang down and swing around a little bit, I thought, well, you know. So I started walking a little bit, and then it just seemed easier to run a few steps alternating. And pretty soon we did 5Ks, and he'd been running before, but I joined in. And so for my birthday, my 64th birthday, I said, I want to go somewhere fun and do a 5K. And he chose New Orleans, the Rock and Roll Marathon. Mm-hmm. And little did we know there are like 20,000 people in this run, and they put you in big corrals and you start out. And so we got up early, went for our beignets down in the French Quarter, and went to do our little 5K. And that was starting to be the longest 5K. Oh. I'm going, whoa, this seems like an... And I turned to the lady next to me, and I said, is this the 5K? Oh, no, honey, you're in the marathon. And I would have told you I couldn't do a half marathon. I didn't want to run 13.1 miles. But it made me so mad. And what are you going to do? You're in your shorts with no money, no phone in the middle of New Orleans. I just kept running. So I'm out there to tell people who are older out in the community, hey, you have no idea what you can do. And there is so much really beautiful research about the pill of exercise and health and medical care. So anyway, that was my funny story.
I love that. Wow. Just keep running.
Speaking of that, do you sponsor? I did 9 after that, maybe 10. Wow. So do you sponsor events like marathons, half marathons, 5Ks?
So currently we don't do many things in that regard. There's a lot of other running events right now that are provided in the community that our department specifically hasn't kind of gone down that road, so to speak, because there's just so many. The Bozeman Running Company sponsors, I don't know how many 5Ks, 10Ks, halves, the full in the valley already, that we're kind of letting them own that space for now.
How do you deal with your own wellness as far as exercise or whatever?
We're going to go down the road.
No pressure. Yeah, I think one of the things that we're all excited about is being able to use this facility and also being able to directly incorporate better balance and always striving toward wellness in general. So I, for one, am excited about my new membership here and really excited about all the facilities. I do a lot of running also when the weather is nice, and a lot of skiing with my family in the winters. And in terms of other my exercises of choice, I like group fitness and I like weightlifting.
Bravo.
I would say for me, it's starting my morning in my quiet house doing yoga. And so that's an important way for me to start my day and to attend to that. The other piece that I love, you know, the outdoors in Montana. So hiking and walking and cross country skiing and doing those things with my family is also important to me. And I would say at work, it's really the relational aspect of my work is important to me. So making sure I have time to connect with these colleagues, but also attending to that part is really important for me. And so within my team, we try to prioritize that, finding as much of that balance. I don't actually like the word balance. I look at it more as like that integration, because it's hard to find balance. But how are we attending to that while being really busy and doing all the things we're doing? And so trying to be intentional about creating space for connection or breathing or just taking a break when needed.
Yeah, finding space is a good way to say it. I like to think that well-being is kind of part of a person's value system. And for me, it is anyway. And I think for a lot of us, we have personal kind of feelings about what we do to take care of ourselves, whether that be exercise or meditation or spending time with family or whatever. But it's really important that we make that time. And I'll be the first to say that I put it on my calendar every day. I don't always follow through on it, I'll say, but I try, right?
Yes.
But if it's not on that calendar, for me, it will get absorbed into other things, mm-hmm. Other commitments, other responsibilities. So regardless of our age, I think it's important for us to make that commitment to ourselves to take care of, you know, our own health.
And finding a time is significant. We used to do it early in the morning to do our running and swimming and exercise class. So no one needs you at 6 a.m.
Darn it. Well, unless you have a toddler, that still is the case. No, I think lack of time is the number one reason people don't exercise specifically, but also I would say take care of themselves in a myriad of other ways. Make an appointment with a dentist or go to the doctor or whatever they need to do. It's just hard to find that time to squeeze in your appointment with your counselor or whatever it is. So you kind of have to make a choice to make that time, right? For myself personally, I teach fitness classes, so that's a time, right? I have to be there, and that's really helpful. But the days that I don't, I certainly have to, you know, schedule it to make sure that it happens amidst a busy schedule.
So mindfulness about the need is a big portion of the process. Yes.
I think for me personally, anything I can do to get outside to be active is what I enjoy doing. And most recently, I've really been into gardening to be able to try to just be outside. So it's been great.
Vegetable, flowers, what are you?
Flowers.
Flowers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're big on that also. I must report to our listening audience, I'm sorry to have to reveal this about you, but these are some of the fittest looking people that you will ever see. And so, bravo, they practice what they preach. Okay, there's a lesson in this for all of us.
Right.
And being an older person, I just wanted to tell a quick story about this gentleman called W.E.B. Du Bois. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was the first Black person admitted to Harvard in the early 1900s. And he helped start the NAACP. He did a lot of things. But when he was in his mid-50s, he wrote an autobiography because his wife had died and he felt like he needed to sum up his life. And so he kind of, you know, finished things off. And then he kept so busy. He was doing rowing. He was doing all sorts of work across the world that by the time he was in his 70s, he had to write a second full autobiography. And I read both of those and I was so impressed. But the part I want to emphasize here is that when he was in his 90s, he wrote a third autobiography, never having suspected he would do any of that. And at that time, he was swimming in the Baltic. Unfortunately, he died of cancer, which they weren't as able to treat as they are these days. But I just want us to think about that there's a whole lifespan, and we can always perhaps do more than we thought we could. So this group is all about that.
I have a feeling that this large, nice space that you have promotes relationships. And with COVID and with social media and people sitting in front of computers, there's a tendency for people not to, with real bodies, get together. Anybody want to talk a little bit about it, especially, I guess, relationships? And I'm sure that's an item where people come in or are depressed because they're isolated. You see a lot of that, I assume.
Yeah, we do. And I would say, you know, that's a trend we're seeing, like you're talking about, right, that we're seeing nationally. And I think, at least for us, we've had a lot of conversations in our department about that, the Surgeon General's report about loneliness, mm-hmm. and like, especially within the young adult population, which is, you know, our primary population. And so lots of different factors that contribute to that. I think I would say that I have found to be really helpful and important is the emphasis on engagement at the university. So while we do that in our work here in the Wellness Center, it's much broader than that, like creating opportunities for engagement for students to build relationships, to interact with people that you might not otherwise interact with and get to know people. I think there was, after COVID, people had a lot of ideas that we'll always be in telehealth, right? Like no one's going to want to come back and be in person. And I can tell you, all of our students couldn't wait to come be in person. Like people still want to be with people and they still want the opportunity to develop those relationships. And while there are many cultural pressures and norms that maybe discourage that, I think one of the things that at least in our department we see is that students are longing for that and hungry for those opportunities, and creating them is really critical for them to be able to engage in that way and build those relationships. And so this beautiful common space that you see in this building was intentional in that way, that it was designed for students to be able to have a place to come together and be together and study together and meet someone new. So yes, while it's a challenge with some of those cultural pressures, I would say, I think there is this idea that at least in the college population, they're longing for it and want to build those relationships with people.
I think it's universal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even for those people who come in from the community to be around others, to work with others, to team up with others and with young people, I think it's very healthy stuff. I think the research supports everything that you all do very significantly. Out of Walden University and from the CDC, they talk about, let me quote, exercise is a scientifically proven mood booster, decreasing symptoms of both depression and anxiety, because physical activity kicks up endorphin levels, the body's famous feel-good chemical produced by the brain and spinal cord that produces feelings of happiness and euphoria. So even just moderate exercise throughout the week can improve depression and anxiety, so much so that some doctors recommend trying out an exercise regimen for these conditions before turning to medications. And those same things we just mentioned help with ADHD and many other problems. In fact, some of the research is showing that a regular exercise regimen might be as good as the medications for ADHD. So there's a whole lot going for what you all do. And do you have any special needs groups that come in, Spencer?
That's a good question. None come to the top of my head that way, necessarily. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that speaking on kind of the topic that you're presenting right now, that's the cool part about, I would say, our roles. Mm-hmm. We're working with students who, generally speaking, are 18 to, say, 24-year-olds generally. There's other students who are a bit older perhaps too, but most are in this place in their life where they're starting to learn to develop healthy habits and develop their own value systems around that. Perhaps in high school, they're really regimented with high school sports practices or mom and dad's schedule or whatever they did up until that point in time. When you become 18, you have all these choices to make, right? Mm-hmm. Those choices on, do I go to the dentist once a year or not? Do I exercise a couple times a week or not? Do I choose to go out and do whatever in the evening or not? Do I meditate? What is it that a person starts to do for habits in terms of lifestyle and health and well-being? So I think we have this really crucial opportunity in that pivotal time in a young person's life to hopefully put them on a course where health and well-being, or activities of health and well-being, health promoting activities, if you might call it that, are ingrained in a person's value system. That's my hope anyway. That's why
so
I do this.
So the Wellness Center would grant students, in addition to getting a degree or an advanced degree, a system of life that is productive and active and reduces or releases, I should say, a lot of endorphins.
Yeah.
Let's just go like for it. The good stuff mm-hmm. here. Wow.
Like
so
it.
It's probably really good for your mental health to work here, isn't it?
Most of the time, yes.
Although counselors sometimes have to carry the weight of counselees, how do you help your staff cope with some of the serious problems that you deal with on a daily basis?
Yeah. I mean, I think we are mindful of that and aware, and especially I think that's true for mental health practitioners post-COVID. We've seen more of that burnout and the impact of that, health professionals too, I would say. For our team, we do things like we have an open door policy so people can just go in and chat with each other and get that immediate consultation. We have protected time for us to come together and consult on difficult situations. So that's a weekly meeting that everyone can go to. For those that are still in supervision, supervision just never gets interrupted. We prioritize that to make sure that they're getting what they need and that support in that way. But more than that, I would say it's really, it's the environment of support and care that we try to provide for each other. And so people really feel that their people stay here and work here because of their coworkers. Honestly, they love the work, but they also love the support that they get. And then we try to have a lot of fun together too. So that part, if you laugh together and you share some food together and really prioritize that, I think our team has found that that's really helpful for them in feeling supported, while acknowledging it's hard and that that is also the nature of what we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have weight reduction groups? Like obesity apparently is a contagion among many communities, not maybe the Northwest as much as the South and Southeast in the U.S., but is that in both your areas? I guess everybody's area. Mm-hmm. Are there groups for that or just other kinds of programs?
Mostly that's personalized right now and on an individual basis rather than, groups. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that's not to say that we wouldn't set something up around more likely eating disorders rather than just obesity specifically. Mm-hmm. But I think mostly that's individual for the most part right now.
Yeah, and we have a group called Nourish that's really a psychotherapy group focused on body image and different eating concerns. And so people can participate in that group. And then we also have a multidisciplinary treatment team with our colleagues in student health that's called FEEL. It also includes the dietitians who are in student health. And we really try to take a holistic approach to that. And then we do some trainings on campus through our diversity inclusion development series around body size and body size bias and sort of educating the community about that to be more inclusive and thoughtful about some of that work too on campus.
Is there a certain protocol for sexual assault? Because that's something in our college campuses always have an issue with.
Yep, go ahead. So our new Office of Campus Civil Rights generally handles most of those concerns. Now, we internally have protocol for receiving the student wherever they may be in their journey of care, be it with a counselor or in medical services. But most of that is now referred over to our Office of Campus Civil Rights.
And you can depend on, I guess, community resources for other kinds of help there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I would say, a really large topic and obviously really important on a college campus and sort of the different ways we all interact with that and support students in that. And then there's sort of the institutional piece and those protocols that you're talking about through campus civil rights and university police and conduct and all of those groups.
Yeah, feeling of safety should be paramount for young women and young men.
Yeah. What have we not covered that you'd like to push into this discussion about the Wellness Center?
I think the thing I would push is just like the opportunities that this has provided for us to come together and re-envision what we do. Like, it's a super exciting time as we're opening the building and doing all of those things. But what I'm really excited about is like, and what's next as we sort of align what we do and take that more holistic approach and look for the cross collaboration opportunities and the ways that we're going to be able to really help students in that way. And I think eventually really like, how does that impact culture on campus even more than we already have? So it feels like we're just kind of on the cusp of like, we've got the building and now it's like, and now here are all the really amazing things that we're going to be able to do with this opportunity in front of us. It's super exciting. Yeah.
It seems like a dream.
Yeah. What is the new building coming up? The Jean Forte building. What is it? What does it do?
It's engineering.
Oh, engineering.
Yeah.
Engineering.
School of Engineering.
Just noticed that coming in today.
Yeah. And the nursing building is to our west, School of Nursing building, too.
Is it in progress now, being built? Mm-hmm. You already had a nursing program, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Just got a new standalone facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're excited.
One more time, a phone number, a website, so we could, anybody out there who wants to get more information could connect. Amber, maybe you could.
Yeah. I think the best place to go is montana.edu/wellness. Mm-hmm. And again, that has a department listing of all the different areas, but again, an about page about student wellness. And I think that starts to tell the story of what Betsy's alluding to and what we're trying to do, you know, in a grander vision is really this kind of one team that works together to help students with whole person health and well-being, wherever they are on that spectrum, needing service and support, or finding places to feel like they belong and find their people and engage in a way that feels like it's helping their health and well-being. But our biggest win here is pulling this team together to really work together as a team approach for students. I think, as Betsy said, in a few years, that'll be a full-on culture shift for the university as a whole. Really hope health and well-being is at the center.
And I think as professionals to know you have the support of fellow professionals, and that when the student comes to you, you have all the resources at hand. That is a real golden type of gift. So you're not having to reach out, having to stretch, having to search. You're all there together. And just think of the wonderful team ambience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we can't thank you enough for being with us today and for sharing all of this really good stuff.
Thank you.
I would just say, excuse me, for the listening audience, please come out in MSU and look at their beautiful wellness center. And also you could possibly get a membership to use the pool if you're in the public. Is that correct? Yes. And we thank you for listening to KGVM 95.9. And be sure to go to kgvm.org. And you can listen to this program as many times as you want in the future because it will be in the archives. Thank you again.